introducción, por favor. David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth.
Your attention, please.
Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
I was a butcher.
David Lee Roth. Looks like Kid Rock is attracting a higher class of groupie these days. The rocker known as the Son of Detroit has moved way beyond pinups like Pamela Anderson and Jamie Presley, and he's chasing Jimmy Choo designer Tamara Mellon. This comes out of Page Six here. And it looks like he's going to be performing during the Super Bowl. He's in Detroit. He's doing a couple of shows there. It says he's playing a couple of shows at the Joe Louis Arena, and then he hopes that she's going to join him when he hosts Sports Illustrated's Super Bowl soiree on Saturday night after his show. What is the Super Bowl soiree? Does anybody know? Any of you guys in the back there know what the Super Bowl soiree is? Because it looks like our old friend Kid Rock is going to be hosting that. Is that a music gig, or do you have any idea?
Sounds like a party.
It sounds like a party. It's a French word for party. I don't know that Kid Rock. I don't know that Kid Rock would ever use the word soiree, but his new girlfriend certainly would. And I don't think that's the same as the old girlfriend that we partied with when we were.
I remember. Yeah, she was cool.
Yeah, but she's gone. And then that's the point. Remember, we partied with Kid Rock. Where
in
was
Orlando.
Orlando. Yeah, yeah. And we went to the place where they have the Hurricanes. What's
Pat O'Brien's.
Pat O'Brien's. And
first thing we did was order 15 Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah. And Kid was, he ended up the night with sitting on his girlfriend's lap. And he was so spaced that they came up and asked one of our guys, Soup, to help find a wheelchair to actually roll him out. Soup's famous answer at the time was, I work for Dave. But we had a great time with Kid and the guys, etc. there. And he told us at the time that he was coming out with this. This is a rock record that he's doing. But he's doing something for the Super Bowl as well. Is Kid Rock family fair? Does that now considered family material? Because, you know, we're arguing here whether or not the Super Bowl is a family gig or is this an adult gig? How about you, be young?
Well, he wants to be a cowboy, right? I want to be a cowboy.
Okay, but a
that's
cowboy
kid stuff.
Cowboy is a family groove. The way Kid Rock does it is not a family groove, is he? Come on, Sash, weigh in on this.
No, he is definitely not family oriented. I love Kid Rock. I think he's dirty and cute.
Okay, you like that. And you're 21 years old. That appeals to you. So you would have no problem with Kid Rock performing in the halftime of the Super Bowl, correct?
I wouldn't have a problem. I mean, I know that older mothers don't really, probably don't really want to see him.
As long as he doesn't show his boob.
As long as he doesn't have a mole. He's dirty.
Turn her up there. So you're saying that older mothers wouldn't want to see Kid Rock, right?
I don't think so. He doesn't appeal to younger kids. It's not his market.
Okay, but isn't that half the appeal, is that your parents are upset with it?
Yeah.
What about your parents? Are they pretty accepting of the music you listen to and the way you dress, etc.?
They've always been, yeah. They've
okay.
Been really,
but your dad was in showbiz for a long time, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was a clown in Ringling Brothers Circus.
Okay, so consequently, the gene extends to you. You're in showbiz. In fact, your dad knew little Jimmy.
He did.
Little Jumbo Jimmy, my little short guy, you know, who worked as my security dude for a long time. We're going to have to bring Jimmy in.
Totally.
Jimmy should be on halftime for the Super Bowl, but that's decidedly non-family oriented. All right, tell me what. Give us another call up here. Say Steve here. He says that was never a family event. Go ahead, Steve. You're on Roth Radio. Weigh in. Hit it.
Hey, what's up, Dave? How you doing, man? Great show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
First off, I never thought the Super Bowl was a family event. When I was a kid growing up, it certainly never was. It was only me, my brother, and maybe my father watching it. What it's turned into over the years is an excuse for a party. And there's a lot of women that show up at these parties, but they're not watching the game. They're just there for the party and the chit-chat and whatnot. And yeah, there's probably some women out there that are football fans, but I really don't buy it, to be honest with you.
I'm with you. I 100% agree with you. I don't know how many women are actually plugged into the game of football, because that is war minus the death. But it also includes all the injuries that go along with that, okay? Animal, what do you think? Am I describing football correctly here?
Yeah, you are describing it pretty correctly. But, you know, like my wife, she hated football, but I watched it all the time. And now she kind of, you know, gets into it. I can tell some stuff about it she don't like. But, you know, she she's coming around. You know, she like lets me watch it, and she watches it with me.
Hold on. Is that because she knows she's not going to have any time with you unless she sits next to you in front of the flat screen?
That could be possible because I'm not moving to a halftime or a commercial, so she have to get with the program or go find something else to do while the game is on, man. You know?
So caller, what do you think? Should this be now adultified, or should we go ahead and retreat and make this a real family affair? What's your opinion? I think we lost him. 866-313-3733. Roth Radio. We're talking about the Super Bowl here. We got an email in the back there. Somebody asked, what would it take to have Van Halen do a reunion to play at the Super Bowl halftime like that? I guess my answer would be, I'd need a taxi. No, you don't got to pay me. I see my agent in the back there.
Just return your phone call. Maybe that'll do it, Dave.
They don't return my phone calls. I call at least twice a year. We start at the beginning of the year, and then we give it once around for Independence Day. And I would play the halftime at the Super Bowl easily. Brian, you and I have been playing these songs together for making an extraordinary living at it. How hard is it to play Dance the Night Away? Go ahead, babe. Hold on. I think it's Eddie. I got him on my phone here. It's that hard. No, I would have no problem playing a halftime thing there. That'd be that quintessential American reunion, right? To do something. How hard would it be to play three songs for the halftime thing? And besides, how appropriate is it that the Rolling Stones are playing halftime at the Super Bowl? It's almost a nationalistic, political kind of an event, is it not? I understand that it's sport, but it's a quintessential American sport. They don't play gridiron football like they do here, particularly at the Super Bowl around the world. Dukes, what's up?
Well, so you would do Dance the Night Away. What are the other two?
Oh, geez, I don't know what. Well, see, now you have all of these issues. I would go for Hot for Teacher, but now you have a censorship issue here. You have quintessential stuff like Jump. Might as well jump, but that's a basketball song.
Yeah.
You got Running with the Devil. Hold on. But no, you would play Running with the Devil, but that's for the sex party on the yacht after the team wins, right? Just go down the list.
Would it now be have to call it Running with that guy with the red suit and the horns?
You would have to do that. And you would do Ain't Talking About Love for the defensive lineman to work up to.
I'm not talking about love. Ain't is
California Girl would be good.
California is specific to one state, though. That's not appropriate either. I don't know if we could actually.
The other states would sue
Seattle,
you.
So you know.
I don't know if we could actually get away with playing this game. What do you think? Should Van Halen do the halftime entertainment? 866-313-3733. Because I find that to actually play these songs is a no-brainer. To get on the stage at the most quintessential American gridiron football event would be a political action, almost. Probably the single most unifying thing in the known universe since a picture of Pamela Anderson. Find me somebody who doesn't appreciate that. 866-313-3733. Okay, somebody's got a daughter who likes the game. Maureen, call me. I'm David Lee. You're on.
Hey, David. This is Maureen.
Okay.
I'm a 41-year-old mom. I'm not too shriveled up. And, you know, I've done my share of things throughout my life. I do have a 13-year-old daughter who really enjoys watching football with her dad. And we have friends who, as well, their kids enjoy watching the game with their parents. We have them over. We have a good time. I think maybe something that people are missing is when you have kids in that age category, sexuality is something that they're starting to discover either amongst each other, which I don't even want to think about it, or with themselves. And sometimes to have something a little too provocative on TV when you're hanging with your parents causes a little discomfort among the kids, at least from my point of view as a parent.
Oh, you mean the kids themselves become visibly uncomfortable because they don't understand what's happening, or are they visibly uncomfortable because they see you becoming uncomfortable?
No, I'd like to think that as a mom, I don't really become too uncomfortable. You know, you have to kind of teach your kids that stuff goes on in the world, and to avoid it and not to explain it is not a cool thing, because those are the type of parents I had.
So you're saying let's scrape it clean. Let's make it squeaky and acceptable to a 10-year-old's mind, perhaps?
No,
a 10-year-old?
No, absolutely not. I'm absolutely not saying that.
Something what are you like saying?
Something like what happened with Janet Jackson. It was a blooper or a booper, whatever you want to call it. But you know, they can have those really great commercials, but they can tone it down a little bit. My daughter's a beautiful girl. She has a body. She understands it. She understands a guy's body because she has parents that talk to her. But maybe not going to the far extreme of saying that.
Okay, but how do you define what the far extreme is? Because to somebody like me, I count myself as reasonably worldly and a safe distance from genius, okay?
Right.
Well, what do you mean, right, right?
Listen, I love you.
Okay, my point is that how do you decide what is acceptable? Because when little Janet Jackson jumps out there with a little pencil weenie like Justin Timberlake, and they pull a classic old vaudevillian thing where he whips off her top and she jumps behind the curtain, that's classic 1950s stripper garbage from a great B flick or something. That,
right,
to me, strikes me as nothing but Animal House frat brother BS. And it's just as quickly divested out of me as it is digested. Do you think that that's safe or that that should be gone away?
No, I think this is exactly where the problem lies, that people don't really know where that line is. For me, the line I might push the line. I do push the line a lot further than most of my friends. I just think that there's just a certain sector of parents that this conversation is not realizing. It's not necessarily the parents sometimes, but it is looking at your kid's reaction and going, oh, if you're a parent that will discuss things with your kids.
Yeah, but you know what? When your kids start reacting, it's like your dog. Your dog is always watching you, okay? And if you're uncomfortable, the dog becomes nervous. If you're confident and you walk tall, the dog walks tall. If you have self-esteem, the dog has self-esteem. And if you live biased by fear, then the dog does too. So are your kids. Kids don't grow up as adults right away, okay? They're watching you for your facial comportment, your body language, the tone of voice, everything except the words that you use. They watch what you do, not what you say. And with that in mind, I don't know that we should actually go ahead and start toning it down. I'm afraid of words like toning it down, especially somebody like myself who makes my living in the arts, the liberal arts, music, theater, showbiz, or whatever. Because as soon as somebody says tone it down, ouch, I hear a judge's gavel somewhere, and I hear FCC fines and these kinds of things. I'm wondering if there shouldn't be a separate course of action. Thanks for calling 866-313-3733. Lori says that she's down for some Viagra. Go ahead, put her on Hutch.
No.
Roth Radio.
David, no, I'm not down for Viagra. Come on.
It was just an opening. Stop taking ourselves so seriously. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm as old as you, okay, first of all. And I think we all need to grow up, especially a lot of the men on the other end. First of all, I have three young children, and I didn't know when, you know, to the Super Bowl with the Patriots. And, of course, it's a family event. I don't know when this all happened, when, you know, these rock concerts were playing during Super Bowl. But anyway, that's what it is. And for Janet Jackson to be doing that, what about Justin Timberlake? He's to blame as well. He's promoting himself, but we don't focus on him. She's promoting herself. She's trying to get more sales, obviously. Viagra commercials, it's for promotion. But we're not seeing private parts on TV. We're seeing an ad. The kids aren't standing there reading the ads. They're not standing there listening to an ad. But if they see, you know, someone's boob, obviously they're seeing it. I have an 8-year-old girl. You have young children younger than that. It's a family event. The women are making the food. They're serving the chicken wings.
Okay, so you're saying, so what you're saying is that we should tailor it to your end of the field. That we should tailor it to the experience that you're having specifically. Is that what you're saying, Lori?
It's not appropriate for young little girls and little boys. They don't understand it. Why is that happening in the context of the Super Bowl halftime show that we're seeing someone's boob?
The way you describe it is like way bigger than I think it actually was, no pun intended. And what you started off with was some great broad-based generalizations about here's something for the guys on the other side and these football players and whatnot. You're naming communities of people that are thousands and thousands of people big that also includes other women. And what you're saying is now to me is that you should back off and you should tailor it specifically to your experience. Is that correct or not correct?
My boys play football. They're in middle school. They're in elementary school. They love football. I'm there for them as well.
Okay.
I want to be with them to see their team, their home team, win a Super Bowl champion.
Okay. Okay, now hold on 1 second. And you're saying you should get rid of all the Viagra ads as well, correct?
Okay, I didn't understand. We don't understand that. This is regular TV show. okay? This is not a nighttime show. This is not an MTV thing. That's different. When these rappers are on, they're grabbing their crotch. That's a different thing. That's
Why is that different? It's the exact same audience. Your kid is watching the exact same nonsense on MTV, MTV2, BET, VH1, Country Music Channel. Features everything except one little boob. Okay, you don't want to show a boob? Great. We don't show boobs. But in terms of the sense of humor that follows through this, it's a sexy sense of humor. It's a larcenous sense of humor. It's an excited, energized sense of humor. I call it young and skinny energy. You don't promote any of that, right? You're saying that it should be a little closer to the way it was perhaps in the 50s. Is that true?
Should we flash our private parts on, you know, and during regular TV time? Why?
Hold on. I got a 21-year-old who'd like to answer to that. Go ahead, Sasha. Speak.
I think it's all about how parents react to it. I think you were right when you said that kids are going to react how their parents react. If a little boy or a little girl sees that and the mother starts flailing their arms and screaming about it, of course the little boy's going to react to it. But if it's just quiet and, you know, reserved and the little boy happens to ask about it, then maybe the mother should inform. But I don't think everybody should make a big deal about it, because that's when kids are going to be exposed to it, and that's when it's going to become a problem.
And that's coming from a 21-year-old. Most of what I see on MTV when they do the hip-hop countdown, when they do the countdowns on BET, it's the best party I ever saw. I'm dying to floss my teeth with half of those G-string bikinis up there. That is so bling, and it is so out of control compared to anything that I see on any football game, including Janet Jackson's boring little chest, okay? And who's the guy who shows her chest? One of the most boring guys at the time in showbiz there. That's Justin Timberlake. A couple of kind of flakies doing a little college prank, okay? Would it be more acceptable to you if he had showed his butt? You know how you moon people? That's a classic football thing. How many football teams have stuck their naked butts out the bus window when they drive past the opposing school? Would you find that acceptable?
Are the football players doing that? They're not doing that.
No, no. Football players invented that. Animal, would you like to speak to that, please?
Of course.
Hold on. Animal, go ahead.
Of course, when I played football, the opposing team, they always came by and shot us a moon. And then when a black person did it, they called it an eclipse. So, you know, that's normal. Everybody did that and stuff, man. I think
football players invented that.
We invented that, man.
What is more monkey? What's more chimpanzee than showing your butt?
Yeah. And remember when Prince showed his butt? On the TV, they came out with a pair of pants like that. You remember that?
Oh, I made a living for 2 years wearing chaps that had no butt to begin with.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Okay, put her back on here. This is an interesting quandary here. What do you think of what Animal says? Should we not? Now we should outlaw the moon as well. Agreed?
Eclipse too now.
Did Molly? We lose her? I think she bailed on us. Roth Radio. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. And you are not sorry. Stop lying in public radio. Okay. Tony, he's on page 6 up there. Roth Radio, you're good. Speak to me, Tony. What's up?
I want to hear you play at the Super Bowl, Roth.
I would love to play at the Super Bowl. And it's a small thing for me. To get in the taxi and make it up to the stadium is a no-brainer. All I need is $500 and a new white suit.
I'll send you the $500. I want to hear Roth at the radio.
We'll stretch the backstage accommodations. In fact, I'll bring the libations myself. Roth Radio, I'll see you at the Super Bowl halftime right after this commercial.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
David Lee Roth às 6 da manhã.
Atenção, Barugam. David Lee Roth é o primo homem da dimineça.
Roth, 6 a.m. Very consistent.
We going to the Super Bowl, baby. 866-313-3733. I'm David Lee Roth. DavidLeeRoth.com worldwide, or the David Lee Roth Show.com worldwide. We're broadcasting to you, Philadelphia, from New York. Talking to you, Dallas. Roll out, old Texas skies. Boston. How often do we get together? Never enough, baby. Hello, Cleveland. Pittsburgh. I know where you're headed. West Palm Beach. It's all within reach. David Lee, David Lee Roth here. Got the whole family breakfast going. 866-313-3733. Call up and fight with me. Tell me, is the Super Bowl for kids or is it for adults here? Come on. How about Ed? Ed, where does it stop? I don't know. Roth Radio, you're on. Get it.
Hey, that's Johnny.
Johnny McCarthy. How you doing there, David?
Great, my friend. What's your thought on this?
Oh, listen, I think that, number one, the Super Bowl was never for the family. It was always for the guys. The women just recently got involved in it. I think that lady who was on last needs a real reality check because if she thinks her sons are, you know, the little, you know, angels that they are, she's got another thing coming. You know, when you see commercials during the Super Bowl, they're selling beer, they're selling, you know, the Viagra, anything that has to do with what guys want. And I don't see them selling too many boxes of Cheerios.
So what you're saying is there's a feminization of this going on. Do you think this extends to the rest of the nation, or is it specific just to this one sporting event?
Well, I believe that it's probably all sporting events, because that same thing that you were talking about, that I don't know if it was Mia Hamm, but it was that women's soccer thing where she had her top on. That was totally, you couldn't tell it was a bra. They made it into, oh, she was wearing a bra. Nobody even knew. I don't think anybody would have even known any different if they didn't say anything.
I agree with you. Had somebody not labeled it a bra, it would have been a forgotten moment. And how many male players pull their shirts off and aren't wearing anything on underneath? You follow? I'm gonna agree with you to the larger extent here. I think that the whole idea is a real macho display, okay? There's plenty of room for women's pursuits, women's products, etc. And if I'm going to sit and watch television advertise female products and Dove bars, etc., etc., to what did you got? Did he just hang up there? We got a buzz there. You got a busy signal. Regardless, I think that if I'm going to sit there and watch feminine products, etc., then there's nothing wrong with Little Princess having to watch the male side of things. And that includes the male kind of sense of humor here. There's a great feminization going on in the United States when I think there should be two distinct approaches here. Trying to make it all applicable for all people all the time is baby food. It turns everything beige here. Give me Chris on number 14. 866-313-3733. What do you think about television and putting on feminine products during the Super Bowl, Chris? Go ahead.
Well, good morning. Let me say I was never a big fan of talk radio, but I really do enjoy your show.
Thank you so much, Chris.
You're welcome. What I was calling about was, if you're going to censor the commercials during the Super Bowl for children, then you should censor the commercials when your children are watching reruns of Everybody Loves Raymond and you're seeing feminine odor commercials. I mean, they're disgusting.
Oh, well, yeah, I completely agree with you.
Who wants to watch that? I don't want to see it. Are you seeing commercials about sanitary napkins? Does yours leak? You know, I mean, the kids are seeing this. It's just as, you know, inappropriate as a Viagra commercial to a kid.
I agree. And if you start to clean up both sides of the menu, what are you going to have in between? Not a lot. I think that it's up to the parents to start to explain some of this. Most of the product endorsements aren't going to go too far because they don't want to alienate too many people. If a successful advertisement alienates a few people, especially if there's humor involved. There's no such thing as humor unless somebody slips on a banana peel and falls on their butt, so to speak, okay? So you're going to alienate a certain group of people, whether that's guys, gals, kids, ethnic groups, or whatever. Animal, go ahead.
I see that everybody calling in, but they forgot about the one most famous advertisement in the world. Remember the streaking advertisement ads? How the guys used to streak in front of thousands of people. It was kids out there, and they would run across the football field, stadium, butt naked with an advertisement on their back. The only thing I have against that, it should have been women, man, instead of guys. You know what I'm saying? But, okay, but nobody talks about that. That was really bad.
I don't consider it bad. No, I consider it harmless, spring break, Animal House garbage misdemeanors that don't impact anybody, okay? It's the kind of stuff that you expect from a great big celebration, which is what that kind of a football game is. What do you think, my friend? What do you think of all that?
Oh, she's gone.
She split?
That used to be called streaking. Now it's called lewd and lascivious behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
But what I meant about bad, I want it to be a woman day. That's what I meant. No, that's what I mean.
I think either way, that's an acceptable kind of thing. Yeah. It's not like the Oscars, which is supposed to be a dignified tuxedo kind of an event, and when somebody streaks the stage on something like that, I find that unacceptable. It's disrespectful to what happens in terms of that kind of a conglomeration of people. But football is a great big celebration. It's not just the game. You celebrate energy. You celebrate youth. You celebrate contact. You celebrate the celebration. It's a family thing of getting together, but it's not just families. I'm very curious. Scott, talk to me on number 12 here. Go ahead, Scott. You're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Dave, I was just thinking, you know, like, I remember when I was a kid, and I used to watch The Price is Right whenever I was home from school, and I used to see so many commercials for all these feminine products. You know, like, every other commercial is one of those, you know. But what I'm saying is, if they're going to censor commercials during the Super Bowl, why don't they just do it all around? You know, I know you said this, but what's the point exactly? You know, because you're just going to have to start going from here. If parents started acting like parents instead of relying on the rest of America to do it for them, maybe they wouldn't have such problems with kids.
I agree with you 100%, Scott. So you're saying that they should be able to put on any kind of commercial up there, as long as it's not X-rated, granted?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not asking, you know, to put, you know, a bunch of porn stars on commercials, you know. What I'm saying is, you know, if parents start acting like parents and, you know, explaining to kids, you know, you can't do this a lot, or, you know, I mean, how come no one had a problem with those Trojan Man commercials?
Hold on, I got a question for you. What if we had a couple of porn stars and they weren't doing porno, but they were advertising something like laundry soap or something, a men's product? They were doing whatever, aftershave, and you had to just pick your two favorite porn stars, a couple of females, who were dressed kind of scantily in bathing suits there by a swimming pool in Las Vegas. They just got fired from the Borgata. And they're doing the ad. And you know that they're porn stars. You know their names. They're famous for doing the most extreme porno. But on that commercial, they're not doing porno. You just know them as who they are, and they're advertising dishwashing detergent. Do you find that acceptable?
Yeah, they're people too. You know, they need to make money somehow. It's like if you went back on tour and you decided to strip naked. You know, I mean, I don't see a problem with it.
Well, if I strip naked, I would charge more. Yeah. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. We're still down the middle here. You got people on both sides of the coin, you know, and there is a feminization of the United States going on. I don't think you can make it applicable for virtually everybody all the time, or it becomes just squeaky clean. It becomes predictable.
Wimpifying America.
Very much so. And these commercials, by and large, are based on humor. They're not forcing it upon you, which is a very interesting expression in terms of a Viagra advertisement.
Oh, Viagra. This is a cool, like a commercial for Viagra. If I was to do it, I would like what kid know what Viagra mean or Cialis mean at the age of 9 years old? So what I would do, I would probably have like two cows out in the pasture, you know, doing their thing or whatever. And then, you know, it's a Cialis commercial. And then my kid was to say, what's going on? I said, oh, they're just out grazing, and just leave it at that, because they don't know what Cialis mean anyway.
And then if they inquire even further, you could say, well, with Cialis, you can graze for 36 hours.
That's real. Yeah, see, then everybody be happy. And then, you know.
Roth Radio. I'm not going out to pasture just yet. I'm David Lee Roth. 866-313-3733. Somebody wants to know where it all stops. Maybe it stops here on Roth Radio. Ed, you're on. Go live, Ed. You're up. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question was kind of answering a question with a question. It's, you know, I agree. I mean, you know, I think some of it should be quelled a little bit, but, you know, I think a lot of, you know, I think it should be accepted. You know, I accept it anyways. But it kind of delves into a question that I had in mind. Well, where does it all end? Like with the issue of gay marriage and stuff like that. I mean, the biggest reason that's in the courts and it's kind of, you know, that's being quelled is because it's like, well, where does this stop? We let gays marry. what's to stop somebody from marrying a pet or this or that? You know, it'll just get crazy.
Okay, stop right there. In terms of gay marriage, I've made the joke before. Perhaps you've heard it on the air. I have nothing against gay marriage as long as both chicks look hot. In fact, I don't care who gets married to who. Just don't bring it down into the street and scare my horses or yours, okay? That's an empirical rule. But you can do whoever you want to do. And if you do them for long enough, then, hey, that's fine as far as, you know, going ahead and getting the tax break, or if somebody passes away, you get the balance of the retirement or whatever. As far as marrying a pet, that's something I haven't heard on the air yet. But no, I think there's a big difference. And as far as where does it all stop, it doesn't stop. We grow. We change. Look at the difference in our humor today than from the Marx Brothers back in the 30s or whatever. When I was a very little kid, even the most cutting-edge comedians, the guys like Lenny Bruce or you know, the fellow who just passed away, that's Richard Pryor, they were super cutting-edge. And today, no, it's more family kind of oriented stuff. It's very acceptable. Eddie Murphy live on the Sunset Strip back in the 80s or whatever, that was cutting edge stuff. Today, it's kind of acceptable, sort of predictable, and I think we're improving. I think we're headed into a good place, and it never stops. No, it doesn't turn into Roman debauchery, unless you do it right.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
Addicted to oil. Addicted to oil. Addicted to oil. Keeping America competitive requires affordable energy. We will invest more in zero-emission coal plants, revolutionary solar and wind technologies, and clean, safe nuclear energy. America is addicted to oil. And everyone here tonight has a right to be proud of this record.
Roth Radio, terrorizing the countryside here. Anything worth doing is worth being addicted to, isn't it? Huh? A little oil. Oh, you got that Arabian kind of sound there. Go ahead, give me a Kurdish sound there. Give me an Iranian sound now. Go ahead. Give me an Iraqi sound now. Is it? Give me an Afghanistan sound now. Yes. That sounds a lot like black music to me. I'm addicted to oil. How else am I going to get to the Super Bowl? How else are we going to film the Super Bowl? What's going to power my flat screen TV? How am I ever going to meet Jessica Alba? And where am I going to take her to eat? And what kind of an automobile unless I have oil, huh? You give me a call, 866-313-3733. And I have gone on record saying that the guy who, that sounds good in the background there, huh? I've gone on record saying that the guy who invented Willie Nelson's soybean burning tour bus has got to come on the air. What, you got a thought?
I know a girl who knows the guy who wrote the book that gave Willie Nelson that book. I can get in contact with that guy.
This is the engineering.
It actually started from the actual diesel guy from way back when. He actually invented this stuff way back when the diesel engine was invented. So there's a book written on it, and I can get a hold of the author for you.
Please do, and I want to get the individuals who constructed this, because Willie Nelson's tour bus actually functions on soybeans. Yeah. And if that's a workable kind of a thing, then I want a soybean wristwatch. Yeah.
There's a guy in L.A. There's a guy in L.A. who wrote a book on that, and I'll have him call in.
Dude, I want a soybean microwave. I want a soybean flat screen TV. We'll get a soybean vibrator for whoever visits. Seriously, I don't know that this is an option that's viable, though. In fact, we got to get somebody on the air to talk to us about this, because otherwise every single thing that we do is fuel implicated, right down to the socks you're wearing. The grommets in your shoelace holes are fuel implicated. They could not have been manufactured without fuel. They couldn't have been placed without fuel. They couldn't have been transported without fuel. Even your wedding ring is fuel implicated. You could not have dug the ore out of the ground. You couldn't have transported it. You couldn't have smelted it. You couldn't have put it in the store. You couldn't have lit the store. You couldn't have driven the car to the store, and you wouldn't have the cash in your pocket because you wouldn't have a pocket. Your blue jeans are fuel implicated. Call up and argue with me. 866-313-3733. You think we belong in Iraq? I do. What do you think, Be Young? Huh?
That's a tough one.
It's not a tough one because your guitar is electric.
Oh, no.
The t-shirt you're wearing is fuel implicated.
I think we should be in Iraq. No. I just don't want to make too many people hate me. I'm extreme.
Look, too late, man. They already hate you.
It's already too late. Roth Very. Radio. Give us a call. 866-313-3733. I agree with what the president said last night on the TV set. He said that we have to find logical alternatives. We have to find reasonable alternatives. And I'm not kidding. If soybean works, I want a soybean digital wristwatch. I want a soybean computer. I want a soybean engine in my Maserati. I don't have a Maserati. Maybe I can get a...
I want soybean guitar strings.
It's next. It's coming up. I'm not kidding. 866-313-3733. Let's get this voter bloc's opinion. Okay, Sasha, you're 21 years old. Yes. You're 21 going on a little bit older-wise stuff. You come from the East Coast here. What do you think? Do we belong in Iraq? Share with us. Cut to the crash. Tell us what you really think.
I do think we kind of belong in Iraq, but I don't think that he was originally honest with why we were going to Iraq.
Oh, I think he explained one reason why we were going to Iraq. Hold on, I got my telephone here.
No, we do belong there.
Okay, you're talking about the weapons of mass destruction? Saddam Hussein was a weapon of mass destruction.
He was.
And we should have waxed him back in the early 90s. But because of some kind of a politically correct premise, we didn't do that. And his two garbage animal sons, good thing they're gone. I don't know what's going to happen with Saddam at this point in time, but just think of it in terms of what he did during his good days. Are you aware with what happened in Kuwait when he decided to go bully them into submission? It's exactly the same as having the Canadian Army come down into New Jersey, drag you out of your house at will, burn your house down at will, sanctioned by their own generals, etc. That was on his good day. You're going to leave him next to the gas station? We do business with Kuwait. We do business with the Arabs. We do business with a lot of people there. It's not our gas station, but we do business with them. We protect that gas station as part of the deal. It's kind of a rough neighborhood. Can you tell me anything you're wearing right now, Sasha, that is not fuel implicated? Anything at all?
I cannot. I know a lot of kids my age. I remember when we went to war, 90% of my classmates at Fordham University protested. They did not think we belonged there, and they still
think that's a very college thing to do,
though.
It's
a really liberal college way of thinking.
Yeah, but
I don't.
But don't. Could that liberal college and that liberal kind of an education, which I totally support, exist without people in a uniform to protect that right to do it?
They forget about that part.
Well, you know, in terms of the liberal arts college or the visual arts school, should be right next to the war college, like in Maryland, because the two. They don't conflict with each other. The reason that we have all of this rights of choice, that I can say whatever I want basically over the radio, that I can do what I want as an artist, Sasha, that you can do whatever you want, you can choose your religion or what you want to wear to it, etc. The reason that that exists is because there's a whole lot of people in uniform protecting that right. And when kids your age join up with the military, because the average age in the military now is what, 19 years old? That's all I see when I visit the bases and stuff, and I do that pretty regularly now. All I see, you know, the average aircraft carrier is being run and operated by 19-year-olds who volunteered. And when they talk about protecting America, they're not talking about the Liberty Bell. Ain't nobody is protecting the Statue of Liberty. Ain't nobody is protecting the Empire State Building. We're protecting MTV. We're protecting BET. We're protecting the Cooking Channel. And yeah, I want some barbecue right after work. We're protecting all of the music that we listen to. And if you want to drink Kabbalah water instead of a beer here with me, hot stuff. I don't suggest it, but I protect your, I suggest that you have that right. And I don't think that those rights can exist unless there is some kind of a bully presence, a big presence that says, please, the line is drawn here. Let's see what Tony thinks over here. Tony, go ahead. You're on.
Hey, Dave, how you doing? Big fan.
Go ahead, Tony.
I've been making biodiesel for about 5 years now.
What is biodiesel? What is that?
It's made from vegetable oil. Okay, you'll get that at your local, diner or restaurant. And now, out of 55 gallons, okay, of vegetable oil, you can make 20 gallons of biodiesel.
And does this functionally work in a truck and
yes.
a car,
I mean,
just like anything else?
Well, yes. The thing is, though, is that you have to mix it with 5 gallons, to say 55 gallons, 5 gallons of aviation fuel will have to be used to make this biodiesel. So you're really not getting away from this fossil fuel.
Okay, so it's still fuel implicated is what I'm saying.
You need
fuel to make fuel.
Out of 55 gallons of vegetable oil, you're making 20 gallons of fuel. It's costing you probably about 70 to 80 cents a gallon versus the 3 gallons today at the pump.
Okay, it's a start. What do you know about the soybeans? And I know that sounds funny.
I have
funny,
no idea about the soybean.
Because that's a real issue, is that Willie Nelson drives his bus, and that's a major thing. That's something that seats 13 people. And I understand that his trucks function on this same kind of a system as well. I'm all for it, but I don't know if we're going to see it in my lifetime when I'm a functional adult. What do you think? You think we're going to see it anytime soon, Tony?
The thing is, I say yes, but I do not believe that it's only on soybean oil. I think there's got to be some other kind of additive.
I would hope so. And I'm sure that once we start to focus on it a little bit, that all kinds of things are going to come up.
You might want to add some Beano to it.
No, there's a million different ways to approach this. And once we start to focus, nobody's better at this kind of engineering and architecting than the Americans. Why? Because we get people from everywhere, all right? It's not just those of us who were born here. America's a great collecting point. And who's going to find these kinds of things first? Here. This is a good place to protect. I think we're going to invent these kinds of things. I'm just questioning is whether or not we're going to be able to see these kinds of things while I'm still a young guy. Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, Young and Skinny, 866-313-3733. Number 14, Hutch. Let's see what he's got up his sleeve. Tom, you're on. Go.
Hey, I want to say that since we are in Iraq, we have to support our troops. But I think that the focus should have been more on Afghanistan. With 135,000 troops in Iraq right now, we should have been having them in Afghanistan, and having Saddam still in power with the no-fly zone, with our, aircraft carriers and what have you in the Persian Gulf. We had him under surveillance. We had everything going for us in keeping him in control, and we wouldn't have had all this insurgent stuff and the whole world, I mean, really the Arab world, against us in that respect, because the insurgency is endless.
Okay, Tom, I love what you're saying. I love the way you say it, but I couldn't possibly disagree with virtually every syllable you're saying more. Let's look at it like this. Saddam was a parole-violating, child-beating, rapist killer. And so were his animal garbage sons. And just like any parole-violating, felonious creep, when we stepped up to the door and said, we hear you got something in your apartment, we got to come in by the parole board's auspices of the state of whatever, and if you don't let us, you're going to get greased. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. So whether it's the Dallas SWAT team serving a warrant on a crackhead, or whether it's the government serving a warrant on somebody who's put millions to death, millions, and that's during his good time. That was on a good day for this animal. He was a parole violator. He killed millions. And we stepped up to him and said, at the end of those 2 years, we know that you're collecting these kinds of weapons. And whether or not he failed to answer the door. You're a parole violator. You're going in the box, homie. And I'll see you tomorrow. Go, baby. Swing it out.